Now, the priests stood daily offering sacrifices that could never completely take away sins. But this man, Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. So God hath made us redeemed and cleansed and acceptable in the sight of God. Peter said, we're kept not by our works, not by our goodness, not by our lack of failing, but we're kept by the power of God. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. We're going through one of those seasons, my friends. We're in heaviness with manifold temptations. But when we take our focus on the circumstance off and put it on God, who is all-powerful and all-knowing and ever-present, then we can rejoice and be thankful for what God is doing. It is a trial of your faith, and your faith is more precious than gold. When it's tested by fire, it becomes more pure. And some of these things sometimes cause us to allow God to burn out some impurities in our life that we might be closer to Him and be more like Him. So we focus on our relationship with God and we'll rejoice. If we focus on our sin, it'll make us discouraged. But if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Now go back to Psalm 32 if you have your Bible open. In verse 1 and 2, there are several words that David uses here speaking about sin, which he experienced in his own life. Verse number 1, he said transgression and sin and iniquity and guile. David understood being rebellious and stepping out of the path of God, transgressing against the laws of God. Sin is to miss the mark, to not measure up to what standard God required. We look at each other. We look at other people. If I do something bad, I can find somebody real easy that's done much worse than I have and try to make myself feel better. At least I'm not like so-and-so, you know. Well, that doesn't help a bit before God, because the measuring stick that we're measured by is not other people, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And in His perfection, we all fall short of the glory of God. And that's why Christ died, to pay for our sins. Iniquities denotes perverseness, to be crooked. I know a lot of people like that, don't you? Crooked. The old saying used to be he was so crooked that when he died, they'd have to bury him standing up, you know, or something like that. Sin is deception. Guile is used. People blame other people for their sin. They try to hide. They try to cover it. They try to blame it on someone else. But what God wants us to do is confess our sin to Him and take responsibility for our actions, and He is willing to forgive us and to cleanse us. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Over in the book of Jeremiah, he speaks about that, and he talks about the difficulties that sin creates. In Jeremiah 17 and verse 7, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters that spreadeth out her roots by the river, shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, given to every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. If you're there, drop down to verse 14. That was verse 7 through 10. Verse 14, heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. Now, David had great understanding of this. Jeremiah quoted this, and David wrote in Psalm 1, very similar expression about the tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. This perverseness of iniquity and crookedness, the deception of guile, the hiding of sin, the trying to blame someone else for it. David faced several incidents where his heart was smitten because of his sin, and he both wrote about it and he confessed his sin to God. Psalm 51 is a great confession pleading for the mercy of God and the cleansing of God that believed to have been written after his sin with Bathsheba. And if you'd ask the average person, what do you think David's great sin was? People would immediately say, the sin with Bathsheba. But if you look in 2 Samuel 24, when David numbered the nation of Israel against his captain Joab's advice, David went ahead and numbered the people, and that was to say to God, this is my nation and these are my people, and I'm going to brag about the number of them. And immediately when David did it, caused the census to take place, his heart was smitten that he knew he had done wrong. And God sent a plague upon the land because of David's sin, and 70,000 people died as a result of David numbering the people. David said, wash me, cleanse me. I acknowledge my transgression. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. The songwriter wrote, my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Let us focus on that and we'll rejoice. Let us focus on that, we'll give praise to God. Let us focus on that. We know that the moment is temporary, but eternity lies with God, and we have a promised place there being prepared for us. So be happy in the Lord. We go back to Psalm 32 and verse 3 and 4. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. Secondly, men conceal their sin and they suffer in silence because of their conscience. Conviction is brought by God and His Spirit. And it brings us to the point to see our sin for what it is in the eyes of God. It will haunt us in the night. David tried to conceal his sin with Bathsheba by seeking her husband to come back from the battle and spend the night with his wife, thinking that that would cover the fact that she was with child and because of David's sin. And the man was so loyal to the king, he slept at the king's door to guard the king in the midst of the battle and would not go home and enjoy the presence with his wife. And so David sent him into the front of the battle to be killed so that he could take his wife and marry her. David tried to conceal all these things, and it just made matters worse. His heart was smitten, and he couldn't sleep. He was restless in the night. He could not escape his own thoughts of what he had done. He was not the same happy man. He was depressed and discouraged, and he would wring his hands, I'm sure, and say, oh God, what have I done? What have I caused? What have I made thy hand of judgment to come upon innocent people because of me? He did not want to see his people and his family and his friends. There was no pleasure in rejoicing with his loved ones. He hid himself. He was a changed man. He lost the power of God. How many have gone through those same things because of different reasons? But when he confessed to God his sin, he said, "My sin, mine iniquity, my transgressions, the iniquity of my sin. Oh, give thanks to God who's made a way for forgiveness and cleansing." And when God forgives us, he washes our sins away, never to be recalled against us again. David reveals some things here in the psalm that mark the trail to victory over sin for him. Godly prayers. In verse 6, "For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him." Godly prayers. Seek God. Get hold of the Lord. If I can just get back to where I know God is, and I can get hold of God, then he can forgive me and he can cleanse me. And that can happen when you're riding down the road in your automobile and you talk to the Lord, or at home in front of your couch or your bed, or here in the church service. When we give the invitation, there'll be a time you can come to the altar and pray, or we'll counsel with you if you have that need to show you how to find forgiveness of your sins and be saved. If you're watching at home, understand God loves you. He sees you. He knows all about you. And your conscience reveals to you how your heart stands between you and God. All of that is a pleading with God for you to come to him and be saved and find forgiveness of your sins. Prayer lifts us above our consequences and circumstances. We're separated unto God by praise and prayer. We come into his presence. The promise of God to his children when we confess and seek cleansing of our sin is that he will preserve us and protect us from trouble. We're compassed about with the hedge of protection that God has given. And we sing songs of deliverance to thank God for his mercy and his grace. Thank God we're not deceived by political deceptions. We're not deceived by false teachers. God has given us the ability to have wisdom, to read his word, and have understanding thereof. And therefore, we're protected from false teachings. Thirdly, verse 8 through 11, God's word is the lamp for our feet and the light for our path. We're often focused on our careers and our retirement and our families and what we need and what we want and what we're trying to accomplish. But God is focused on our character, that he might be in fellowship with us. And if we get into darkness and sin, then we'll lose our fellowship with God. We don't lose our relationship with God, thank God, but we'll lose the fellowship of God. And we'll have that haunting in the night that we need to get things right with the Lord. We don't have to be like the unsaved crowd of the world. The psalmist focuses them in verse number 9. They're like horses and mules. They have no understanding of where they're going. They must be turned about by the bit and the bridle. They used to say you got to hit a mule in the head with a two before to get his attention before you can get him to do anything. And people are that hard-headed and stubborn as animals are. And they're led. They don't even realize they're being led to a place. Satan is behind all that. We blame politicians. We blame people that disagree. We blame people that are focused on the wrong things. But the truth of the matter is Satan is behind all of that. And he's working through people to lead them astray and to destruction. When we're led by God, we see the waters part before us like Israel did at the Red Sea. When we walk with God and serve him, we see the enemy destroyed behind us. When we live for the Lord and serve God, we see God rescue us from the waves when we begin to sink a little bit, like Peter when he walked on the water. We don't follow the crowd to destruction in the broad way. We follow the narrow way. Sometimes it's difficult, like circumstance right now, but God's in charge. And we'll find out one day that the path will break open to glory and a new body and a new life. We don't need to be forced to follow God. We rejoice to follow God. We're happy if we follow God. And we can have our loving, merciful, caring Lord exalted before us as our champion who is providing a place for us. Let us warn the wicked, verse number 10 says, many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Do you know one day Baptists are going to shout? We've forgotten how in the world today. We're too dignified for that now. But when we get in the presence of God, we'll shout, glory to God, praise God, thank God for what he has done for me. We'll see the rejoicing that God wants us to have. Let us warn the wicked. Their sorrow is coming. God is keeping the records. The day of wrath and judgment will come. God is not slack in his promise of that. It will take place. But he's been long-suffering that he could give you an opportunity and me an opportunity to be saved and for us to try to gather our loved ones in before it's too late. We who trust the Lord are surrounded by mercy, surrounded by protection. We should be glad and rejoice and shout for joy. In 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11, God describes how those who are in his eyes the sinful of the world, and he lists those sins, that those are unrighteous and they shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And then he says, but such were some of you. But you've been washed, you've been sanctified, you've been justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The redeemed have been bought with a price. Therefore, let us be happy and rejoice in what God has done. Keep our focus on God. Keep our focus on heaven, eternal life. Keep our focus on people getting saved. And don't let the circumstance of life discourage you and make you depressed. God's still on the throne. He's in charge. Father, we love you and thank you for your blessings and mercy. We ask you to bless your people today. Help us as we have a verse played on the piano and think a little bit about what we've heard and how you've dealt with us by your Spirit, that we make the decisions that we should before we leave this place. Lord, I draw close to you today. I pray for your cleansing. I pray for your mercy. I'm so thankful for your grace. I ask you, Lord, to bless your church today with continued protection and provision, we ask. In the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Miss Gwen will play through a verse.